attention. So we're here, amen. If you're willing to please, Gabe, if you'll join us by standing, Psalm 23. And we'll read these six verses together. And I won't preach long. I preach 28 minutes Sunday morning and 24 minutes Sunday night. My wife says, you need to have the Hendersons back more. And I, yeah. By the way, tomorrow's our anniversary. We've been married 5 years. Amen. She deserves to go to heaven whether she's saved or not after putting up with me this long. Amen. I was waiting for that. So with that said, I will be off the radar tomorrow. Me and her's going to go have a day, all right? And so I'll be off the radar, so don't die tomorrow, all right? Wait till Friday, all right? Just kidding, amen. A merry heart does good like a medicine, don't it? And I appreciate my wife. I could not do what I do without her. And I was watching Hee Haw the other day, and they said, behind every good man, there's a woman. And Archie Campbell said, yeah, I complain she ain't got nothing to wear. Amen. But I appreciate my wife. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let the church say amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word tonight. I'm about to sweat to death up here. No wonder. Ain't no air on, praise God. I was wondering why I was getting so hot. I knew it wasn't conviction, amen. But here in Psalm 23, we started dealing with this Sunday morning, and we made some introductory comments about this psalm. We know that this psalm is authored by David. David, when he was dying, they called him the sweet psalmist of Israel over there in 2 Samuel chapter 22, I believe it is, chapter 23. And David, we know he wrote 75 of the 150 psalms that we have in the canon of the Word of God. When I say we know he wrote 75, that means that he signed 75 of them. Now, there's 150, so he could have wrote more that he did not sign. But majority of the psalms were written by David. And of course, this is probably David's most famous psalm that he ever wrote. In fact, this is probably the most famous psalm in the Bible. Some people would even argue this is the most famous chapter in the Bible. We all know John 3:16 is the most famous verse. But if there's a famous chapter, it has to be Psalm 23. You know, we hear it quoted a lot at funerals. In fact, if you go to a funeral, usually on the back of that little card, you'll have the 23rd Psalm. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. But this is not a funeral psalm. Because in the end of verse 6, he's talking about living, amen? It's not a psalm for the dead, but it's there's nothing wrong with doing that. Don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with that. I understand, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's not a psalm for the dead, it's a psalm for the living. And by the way, if they're saved, they're not even dead at all, amen? And so this psalm has gave a lot of God's people a lot of comfort and a lot of help. Sunday morning, we dealt with this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. We said three things about that. We said, we see the Lord is prominent. The Lord is. We said the Lord is personal, my shepherd. And we said He is passionate. We gave the idea of that shepherd, how He guides the sheep, how He calls for the sheep, how He gathers the sheep, how He gives His life for the sheep. And I'm glad we serve a God who is the good shepherd and the great shepherd. Then Sunday night we dealt with the phrase, I shall not want. And we said three things about that phrase. We said that phrase gives the idea of, let's see what it was, security, sufficiency, and satisfaction. I shall not want. Amen. And we said this psalm can be broken up into two parts. The first three verses is one sheep sticking his head through the fence telling another sheep about how good the shepherd is. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He, you ought to circle all them he's in the first three verses. But then the last three verses is the sheep telling the shepherd how wonderful he is. Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And so thou preparest. On and on you go. Y'all circle them he's and thou's, amen. But here's why we looked at this. We looked at the shepherd Sunday morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But coming up the road today, the Lord, I looked at this Sunday, this thing that I'm going to share with you tonight. I was trying to figure out how I was going to fit it into the series, and the Lord put it on my heart tonight. Now, this is unusual for me, number one, because this is not my outline. Number two, it's not alliterated, and that's about to drive me crazy. And number three, I have no subpoints. Probably about a year and a half ago, Miss Janice walked up to me on a Sunday night and said, I want to give you something you make a copy of to put to read. And I'll be honest with you, and I tell people this, I said, now look, you give me something to read, that don't mean I'm going to read it tonight. I put it in a file, and I try to get to it, and I feel led. I'm bad about reading stuff. People give me a book, and sometimes I read it, sometimes I never get to it. And honestly, I looked over it the night she gave it to me, but I said, man, that's good, and that's about it. And I put it on my shelf in my office, and that's it. And even before I started in this series, I was cleaning out my office in my closet, which is sometimes the abyss. You never, what goes in there may not come out. Kind of like your wife's purse. Somebody say amen right there. And I was going through books, and I found this. And I began to read over this, and man, I said, man, that's good. And I actually scanned it in. I've got it where I can scan stuff into my computer now. I said, man, I want to save that. That way I can put it on my hard drive. That way if I ever lose it, I got it backed up. I said, that's got some good stuff in it. And I scanned it, didn't think nothing else about it, so I started preaching this series. She gave me a little paper that a guy named Will Pounds wrote. And it said, because the Lord is my shepherd. And it said this, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any provision or the needs in my life. Because He makes me to lie down in green pastures, I shall not lack nourishment. Because He leads me beside the still waters, I shall not lack rest. Because He restores my soul, I shall not lack forgiveness and reconciliation. Because He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, I shall not lack the right relationship with God. Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I shall not lack comfort and hope. Because Thou art with me, I shall not lack a constant companion and friend. Because Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me, I shall not lack guidance and protection. Because Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, I shall not lack honor and respect. Because Thou hast anointed my head with oil, I shall not lack power and authority. Because my cup overflows, I shall not lack joy and the abundant life. And because I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I shall not lack assurance of eternal security. That's good, ain't it? I wish, like them two Indians was on them two different mountains, they send up smoke signals, and all of a sudden that atomic bomb went off, and that big mushroom cloud went in the air. That one Indian put his fire out, rolled up his little blanket, and said, huh, wish I'd have said that. You'll get that after a while. I wish I'd have wrote that, but I didn't. And she gave that to him. But on the other side of that, it gives 12 characteristics of sheep. And the Lord put this on my heart this afternoon. We know the Lord is my shepherd. But I want to ask this question tonight. Why do sheep need a shepherd? Why do sheep need a shepherd? Now, I'll be honest with you tonight. This ain't prepared like I would normally like to have something prepared. But I'm just going to get, I've got some scriptures that I hadn't even, I'll put it, this is how fresh it is. I hadn't even got all my scriptures marked. So I'm going to have to turn with you, all right? But I want to look at this on some characteristics of sheep and give you 12 reasons. Don't worry, it won't take me long, all right? Give you 12 characteristics of sheep and show you why sheep need a shepherd. And for a love offering, I'll make you a copy of this after the end of the service. Amen? It's a joke, all right? Amen. Here's the first characteristic of sheep. Sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd for every need. Totally dependent. Now, can I let you know something? I am an independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental, no fourth Saturday night singing, no Sunday school literature, slobber slinging, biscuit eating, sweat wiping, Krispy Kreme eating, donut preacher. Amen? And I don't apologize for that. I'm an independent Baptist. But in reality, I'm a dependent Baptist. See, there's a lot of people that are independent. They're independent of everybody. They're even independent of the Lord. They don't even need the Lord. I want to be a dependent Baptist. I am depending on the Lord for everything. Sheep, they depend on the shepherd for every need. Here's the second one. See, we're going pretty good. We're already on the second one. Now, as I go through these, I want you to see if you can relate to any of these things, all right? Sheep number two, they're very gullible. They'll believe anything. Sound like Baptists, don't it? People would just soon believe a lie before believing the truth. They'll believe anything. You know, the Bible says you don't have to turn unless you just want to. I ain't got my scriptures marked, so I'm having to turn. But Paul was talking to that church, Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. Here's what he said. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the watch the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. As I've been studying about these sheep, there's a man on YouTube that I've been following. He's a shepherd. He professes to know Christ. He's probably not my flavor. He's more contemporary, but he's a shepherd. And I've been watching him on YouTube and watching some of the, he actually has a flock and he does a daily video every day, about 2 minutes. And no, I'm not telling you his name because I'm studying after him and I don't want you to get ahead of me in the series, all right? But I was watching him, and I saw this one of the first videos I watched. I went back and watched it right before I come out on the platform. He said, the day I fell in love with sheep was at a slaughterhouse, watching sheep get slaughtered. He said, I know it's an odd place. He said, that's the day I fell in love with sheep. He said, my heart just went out. He said, I went home. He said, I have a farm, and he said, I had cows and things of that nature. He said, I decided I wanted to have some sheep. And he said, but there was a sheep called the Judas sheep in that group. Here's what that sheep was designed to do. He was trained to lead the other sheep to slaughter. Now you can Google this and study this out. You see, sheep follow sheep. In their own nature, they follow sheep. Without a shepherd, they'll just follow one another. So that Judas sheep, he is trained to lead those sheep into the slaughterhouse and eventually the butcher, thank you. Obviously, nobody buys their meat fresh, all right? Leads them right to the butcher and he slaughters them. But he never gets slaughtered. In other words, he's a fake. He's a phony. And they're so gullible, they'll follow him. Can I say this? Y'all be careful following people that are not the shepherd. Because they might be leading you to the slaughterhouse. Amen. Sheep are very, very gullible. They'll follow other sheep. In fact, the Bible said this, that the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. Yep. Amen. And so that's why, and that's why God is the Lord is our shepherd. But as a pastor, I'm the under shepherd. And can I say this? Even though I'm the under shepherd, I'm still a sheep. Yeah. I'm just like you. I'm your brother in Christ. Amen. But God's made me the under shepherd. And I'm not in charge. I'm just here to make sure nobody else is in charge. Pretty much the way it is. And can I say this? Better be careful following sheep who might be a Judas sheep who will lead you to your family and your life getting destroyed. That make any sense? Sheep are very gullible. Number three, sheep are vulnerable to fear, frustration, and hunger. They get very vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. They say for a sheep to have peace, he has to be free of three things. Flies, friction, and lack of food. He's got to have those three things if he's going to live. Number four. I told you, we're just going to run through these quick and I'm going to be done. Sheep have no, and we mentioned this Sunday, they have no means of self-defense. And this is what it said. The only thing they can do is run. And can I say this? We cannot defend ourselves. We are in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And here's the only thing we can do is run to the master. Amen. Run to the shepherd and say, God, it's the devil, it's the flesh, it's the world, and I need you to take care of it. You remember the disciples in that storm in Mark chapter 4. What did they do when the storm rose? They went and got Jesus. When Lazarus got sick, what did Mary and Martha do? They ran and sent word to the Savior. They didn't get on Facebook and say, you know, we really need, you know, this, whatever. No, they went and got the Savior. Amen. Amen. Number five. Sheep are jealous and competitive for dominance and position. Woo! Always trying to get up in the pack. Always trying to step on somebody else so they can get in a better place of position. They're very, very jealous. Sound like Baptist. Come on now. I don't know anything about Methodists. I don't know anything about Presbyterians or Pentecostals, except they're weird. But I know Baptists. And I know this is right. You see, they get jealous of one another. They get strife for one another. In fact, and I'm still chewing on this statement, a man made this statement this morning. He said, if you ever get offended, it's because you thought too highly of yourself. Ooh. I'm still chewing on that one. They get jealous. They're competitive. Preachers are this way. I was in a meeting this week, and I watched people. And this is why I love the Hendersons. While our choir was singing Sunday, I watched them. They smiled and they enjoyed it. I've seen some singers, if they're not singing, they're over clipping their fingernails, playing on their Facebook, bouncing their chest until they get up, and then they want you to shout the house down while they sing. I've seen preachers do that. They'll sit there and flip through the song book while you're preaching. You're trying to preach, and then they want you to run around and chase them down while they're preaching. Amen. I'm going to try to help every preacher that gets up. Amen. Amen. Competitive for dominance. Number six. Y'all right? These pretty good? Y'all like these? Number six, we're halfway through. They have little discernment for choosing food and water. In other words, they can't find it. Sheep are dumb animals. I think that's why the Lord compares us to sheep. Now, you may not want to admit to it, but yesterday, I'm going to tell one on myself. I'm always telling stuff on people. I'm going to tell one on myself. Yesterday morning, and by the way, I was nervous. I was preaching one of the biggest meetings of my life. Had a lot on my mind yesterday morning. Just want to clarify this statement with that. And I said, Grace, and Daxon likes to play with my phone. He likes to play Mario. And he had got ready. I said, and I didn't want to say phone, because I didn't want him to hear phone and say, yeah. So I was going to spell it. And I said, do you want Daxon to have my F-O-N-E? Some of y'all are going, what? What's so funny? And she said, you're what? I said, P-H-O-N-E. That's why Miss Teresa's the secretary and writes out the minutes. Ain't no telling what it would say if I'd done it. So I'm dumb, man. I'm crazy. And I don't need any amens from the peanut gallery on that one, all right? Because you're just as bad as I am. And in fact, without the shepherd, we couldn't even find food or water. He had to stick it right in front of our nose, and sometimes we still don't even get into it. Number seven. Tell me this don't sound like Baptists. Sheep are stubborn and insist on having their own way. I'm just reading. This is Miss Janice's sermon. I'm just reading it, all right? They are stubborn and insist on having their own way. It's my way or the highway. You ever heard that? It's God's way or the highway is what it ought to be. Amen. Now, if you happen to be in God's way, then you might use that statement, but it's God's way or the highway. In fact, it's God's way, no highway option. That's exactly right. Here's the point. They insist they got to have their own way. Now, Baptists in the South are bad about this. Come on now. They are. I know them. I'm just telling you. I know. I grew up around. I know, man. They got to have their own way. In fact, we're all that way to a certain extent. We got to have it our way. Amen. Here's one. Number eight. Listen to this one. When sheep have too much wool, they can flip over easily onto their backs. That's what it said. I actually done some research to make sure Miss Janice wasn't lying when she wrote this sermon. And it's the truth. In fact, they said, this one kind of, 8, 9, and 10 kind of go together, all right? They said in order for a sheep, when he's on his back, he can't get nowhere, obviously. That'd be weird if he could, you know, just kind of scooting along. But he can't do that. So, you know what the shepherd has to do? He has to shear him. Sheep have to be sheared. That's number nine. And they hate being sheared. In fact, actually number nine is when they're flipped on their back, they cannot right themselves. They can't get up. Anybody ever went cow tipping? Come on, anybody ever went on and pushed a cow over? Nobody? Tim Cook, have you ever done that? Miss Teresa's looking at you. All right. I always wanted to do it, just to be honest with you. I thought it'd be funny. But I don't know about a cow, but I know they say sheep, when they get on their back, they can't get themselves up. You know, when we fall, we can't get ourselves up. We try, but the shepherd has to come over there and get that sheep back on his feet. But you know what he'll do? This is number 10 or 11, I can't remember. You know what that shepherd will do to keep that sheep from falling over his back because of too much wool? He'll shear him. He'll cut that wool back. Now, I was watching something the other day. Y'all know me, I'm a conspiracy theorist. All right? Everything's a setup. The government's behind everything. Elvis is still alive, living with John F. Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe and Michael Jackson and the aliens in Area 51. All right? I believe it all. I'm a believer, all right? I believe all that crazy stuff, man. Oswald had nothing to do with JFK, you know. I'm on all of that, all right? But I was watching something the other day, and they was talking about if humans were to leave the world. And by the way, one day we are going to leave the world. But they said this statement, that sheep that are groomed for their wool to get the cotton and get the wool from, not cotton, get the wool from, it's been a long day, shut up. They said if the humans were gone, they're not sheared, they'd die from suffocation. Because the wool would grow up around their face and they can't breathe. That's what they said, and I studied out. So that's why they had to be sheared. And you know what? Sheep don't like to be sheared. Let me put it like this. They don't like to have things cut out of their life. And we as humans and we as in the flesh, we don't like for the Lord to cut things out of our life. But the reason God will cut things out of our life sometimes is because He knows that's going to hurt us in the long run.
Amen.
That makes sense.
Oh, yes.
And they said the sheep hate to be sheared, but a good shepherd will shear his sheep.
Yeah.
And cut them back so that way they won't get hurt and that way they don't suffocate.
Amen.
That makes sense. Ain't that good?
Yeah. Amen.
They don't like to be sheared, but the shepherd knows that's what they need. What number am I on? Let's see here. Where am I at? They're stubborn. Oh, here you go. Number 11. I like this one. We're almost done. Sheep are creatures of habit, and they often get into ruts. Doing the same thing. You know what insanity is? Doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. And a sheep, they said they'll get in the same routine, and they'll get in a rut. You know what happens when you get in a rut? You won't go nowhere. How many times have we been guilty of getting in ruts in our Christian life?
Amen.
And we're saying, well, God, why am I getting anywhere? Because we're doing the same thing the same way and we're expecting different results and it don't work. They get in the ruts. Remember that man over there in John chapter number 5 that lay by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years? 38 years he laid there in a rut, if you would. Wait for the troubles of the water. And Jesus come by and said, you want to be made whole without being made whole? And he said, well, Lord, I have no man to put me in the water. Jesus said, I didn't ask you that. Take up thy bed and walk. He is in a rut. And even when the answer came by his way, he still gave excuses. Lord, I've always been this way. Lord, I'm too old to change now. If you're still breathing, you're not too old to change.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Sheep get in the ruts. Number 12, and I'm done. Number 12. Sheep always need to be on the move. They're lazy by nature. That's how I know I'm a sheep. They're lazy by nature. They like to stay in one spot, but a good shepherd will keep his sheep on the move. And I thought about this verse. I'll give you this and I'm about done. I'm at 23 minutes. Ain't that a blessing? Philippians chapter 3. I thought about what Paul said when he wrote to the church there at Philippi. Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward, sound like going forward, the mark of for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, if they're on the move, this is real deep. That means they're going somewhere. I wonder, where are you going at in your Christian life? Where am I going at in my Christian life? This one, sheep are often, some of these are kind of repetitive that you could get, but if a sheep is staying in one place, the enemy will notice his routine and devise an opportunity and devise a plan to get that little lamb. That's why sheep need a shepherd. That's why we need the Lord. Because we're gullible by nature. We don't like to admit that, but it's the truth. We're totally dependent on the shepherd for every need. We're vulnerable to fear, frustration, and hunger. We have no means of self-defense. We're jealous. We're competitive for dominance. We don't have any discernment to find food or water. We're stubborn. Amen? Well, three people are honest. We get flipped on our backs because we don't like the shepherd to cut things out of our life, and then when we get in that rut, we can't move. And we're creatures of habit. I'm telling you, that's why we need a shepherd. And can I tell you tonight, we have the greatest shepherd that you could ever have. For David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm glad he knows where the food and water is. I'm glad he knows how to stop, and we'll get to it in the psalm. I'm glad he knows how to stop that contention between two sheep, and that for that dominance, that competitiveness. I'm not going to give it to you tonight, because you. But Dr. Sutton said, "Don't tell everything you got in the one message. You got to come back and preach again." Amen. Make you come back. He knows how to handle all that. And boy, we have a great shepherd tonight, don't we? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our good shepherd. Lord, the Bible said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Lord, I know this has been different tonight. Lord, this has not been our usual style, but Lord, you put this on my heart tonight, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us, Lord, as we go our separate ways. God, I pray you get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate the word of God, and thankful for all.